Astro Camp,
yes. And we are continuing. We just finished up the Phoenix Lights one.
We took a pee break. We had some pistachios.
Yeah, we did. We went nuts in the kitchen. We just all had pistachios
nice,
and almonds.
Dude. We
and
did
stuff.
Go nuts.
So many nuts.
Okay, well, don't say it like that. But, we were just talking about, while we were all going nuts in the kitchen, we're talking about going to Roswell on tour. Do you want to, you guys just went to Roswell. Was it your first time there?
I have danced around Roswell for many moons. It's true. It's always there on the map. I see it. And I'm always bouncing to Albuquerque and then going to Las Cruces. And going
that was
back
a pretty
Phoenix.
Linear question. Have you been to Roswell before that?
Well,
I guess I'm trying to say that I've gotten so close for so long that it meant probably more to me to go for my first time than it would for most people.
There so this go. Is first time.
There we go. First timer here.
I'm actually like really surprised that was your first time.
See? Me too.
So what is the history
I've
of,
even been to Marfa before that.
Yeah, let's take a
minute. Like what? Why is Roswell Roswell? Why do people...
I mean,
what makes it important?
Doesn't everyone know?
No, I
really?
Don't. Is that where Area 51 is?
Oh, come on.
I swear to God, I don't know.
Really?
I don't remember. I went there, but I was like just so ready to go home after tour that I don't remember anything.
Why? Because you guys were routing back to Phoenix,
I think so,
probably?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was near the end of a tour.
It's sort of a weird route. It makes sense that you don't usually end up taking it.
Yeah.
Where were we coming? Where were we?
We were going from somewhere to El Paso.
Huh. All right. Before we really break down Roswell, I want you to explain what Danny was what his behavior was like.
The closer,
knowing,
closer you get,
knowing that you guys
honestly,
were getting
this is
to
no,
Roswell.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Stop.
I'll just
Mouse's
say it.
Turn.
I'll say it. I kind of threw it a tantrum the night before because the guy said maybe we weren't going to go.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's what we were driving from. It's all coming back to me now. Okay. It's all coming back to me like a flashback.
Yeah, let's.
So we were driving from San Antonio to El Paso the next day, and one of our friends, Ryan, not this Ryan, another Ryan who was touring with us, pulled up the map and he goes, "Danny, do you know what we're gonna do tomorrow?" And Danny goes, "No, what?" And he goes, "We're driving through Roswell tomorrow." And that started about a 3 to 4 hour long build of excitement that just would not stop.
It was just simmering.
It started off with like...
It was cute at first, but then it got a little much.
Well, what happened...
Because they said we weren't going to stop, and I was like...
What happened was he pulled it up on the map. And like any normal person opens the map and sees that we will indeed be driving through Roswell on our 10-hour drive. Mm-hmm. And that was where his mind was. We'll drive through it. We'll point at some stuff. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we'll stop at the gas station. Danny then took that to, we are going to spend the afternoon in Roswell.
it was no longer a travel day.
So logistically, when we started looking at the math of how the day would unfold, we were about 8 hours from Roswell and stopping there for a 4 hour Roswell adventure would make our 12-hour drive day quite long.
Normally, it didn't make a lot of sense from a logistical perspective, and I recognize that now. And I'm very thankful that you guys still made it happen for me.
We were on tour with Greaves, and Greaves is just kind of like the nicest dude on the planet. So he carved out extra part of the day for us to be able to stop. And we actually went and visited the Roswell UFO Museum.
The International UFO Museum.
Wow.
It was pretty cool. We showed up like 10 minutes before it closed. And the guy at the desk was just like, "How many of you guys are there?" We're like, "There's 6 of us." And he's just like, "Next tour starts in 5 minutes. If you want to just go to the bathroom, it's in the back." It's in the back of the exhibit. So
like,
he just
wink,
like
wink,
didn't
nudge,
charge
nudge.
Us and just let us walk
wow.
in.
Wow.
Yes.
How much of you was paying attention to the actual museum versus paying attention to Danny's reaction to the museum?
It felt like watching like what I imagine watching like my child at a soccer event would be like. Like, I'm not really soaked into who's winning the game. I just am happy to see him having so much fun.
Really, it's more like
you're there to see him
bringing your kid to Disneyland for the first time.
Yeah,
I think it's kind
of. Yeah, Danny was going nuts. We walked into they had a,
why did
they had a the merch stop, like you like exit through the gift shop kind of thing.
I brought some. Let me grab my bag. Oh, keep going.
So we go into the gift shop. How excited he is now is like a tenth of how excited he was to go into this gift shop. And we're walking around and I am just watching Danny hemorrhage money. Like he's carrying around like a collection of things in his hands.
So
like
hard.
He is it, dude, it was insane.
Wait, I have video. There's the gift. Dude, the gift shop is rocking, dude.
He's got the video.
Those are all magnets. Danny collects magnets, if
there's
you didn't
mouse.
Know that. There's me.
Mouse looks happy.
I do collect
pretty
magnets.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool store.
Pretty interesting stuff, right?
I brought some magnets.
I have to say, like, as somebody who sells merchandise, they really weren't that merched up. Like,
what?
I felt like their merch game was a little
weak.
A little weak, dude.
Dude.
In my opinion. In my
as
humble
a man
opinion.
Who hunts down alien themed objects, it was like a it was like fucking,
it's probably government
this
style
is
merch.
I was coming,
this is the crown jewel of his collection, the Rastafarian
alien. The Rasta alien shirt
the Rasta shirt is,
and I wore it to the Bob Marley movie last night. It was kind of funny.
Cool.
Kind of disrespectful, I guess,
so
but.
Cool. My impression of Roswell was like everything just felt like a gas station that didn't have pumps anymore. And it was like, oh, here's
that.
Like an alien themed shot glass.
Yes.
This might be my stuff. Best, the best magnet on my fridge. I have so many. But you see, it's got a little flying saucer in
it's
it.
Upside
it,
down.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff.
How much money did you spend there? Over under $150.
We don't need to talk about this.
I would like to know. You asked me how much my shirts cost. I get to ask you how much you spend on fucking magnets.
Wait, let's guess. Who spent more on their alien merch? Ryan on his one T-shirt?
I've done more
Danny
for the community
his...
than you have, I bet. No.
That's true. Your X-Files shirt's pricey, too.
Oh, that one was bad. I forgot about that.
I got this hat, which is my new favorite hat.
This is definitely going to be a visual podcast.
It really is. Like
Danny's putting on a beanie. It is lime green with alien eyes.
You gotta keep
there
that
go.
On.
It's pretty. Actually, I think that might be my favorite piece of merch that you got from there.
That's
that
pretty cool.
Pretty
actually,
good. That one's pretty good.
Oh my god, Greaves stole it out of my bag and wore it on stage during one of the Badfish shows. It was so funny, dude.
You probably got fully erect for that.
All right,
cool.
Fully
dude.
Torqued.
Hey, we don't need to see every single item you bought at the gift shop. Let's keep talking.
Anyway, let's. Let's go into the actual museum itself.
Yeah, let's talk about that part where people actually go to see.
There was a lot of really interesting stuff in there. There was some stuff about the Phoenix Lights.
Really?
That was cute. Yeah, they gave us a little corner.
Yeah. Nice. There were some installments that were like there were reference pieces.
So
and they were a little lacklustery.
No, okay. See, and I guess we never talked about why Roswell is important, which is funny. But they did a good job. And
let's talk about, let's do that first.
Okay, so.
Because Ryan originally asked, like.
Why is Roswell exciting?
Roswell's
really where the first crash happened, right?
Roswell it's like ground zero for the UFO community. Basically, it was the first crash where the news got out about the crash before the military had a chance to put a lid on it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is famously one of like the most in your face. A UFO has crashed and some people have retrieved parts of it and the Air Force is going to come in and do something about it.
What year are
and
we
that's
in
the fucking 1950s, newspaper.
1950s, right?
No, this is 47.
1947. That was close. Who was the first one to report a crash? Wasn't it a farmer?
Yeah, so there's a rancher.
Sorry.
And it's funny when you're driving, like when you're headed to New Mexico, or I mean to Roswell, there is nothing. I mean, it is a barren wasteland, and any structures are very questionable. and you're just like sort of feeling like the emptiness and poverty of that whole area. I think at this time, the rancher, you know, he's just a good old rancher doing his thing on his ranch.
I did think it was really cool that they just left it that way, too. They preserved the story as is and left Roswell fully impoverished. just nothing's changed since the 40s.
Yes, the whole town is a museum.
Well, it's like that happened, and they're like, this is our economy. We need to make everywhere look like a gas station.
What's really interesting about the Roswell crash is the imminent cover-up that happened like immediately after. That's what I find really striking
about
it.
And this is where the weather balloon joke comes from. This is where it originates from. Because that's what they did. This story came out. Pretty much everyone in the town knew someone that knew someone that was had a piece or knew the rancher, you know, or knew one of the 10 people that drove out in their trucks.
You said had a piece. You're talking about the metal?
Yeah.
Let's talk about this metal real quick.
We'll come to that.
Okay.
But
we'll come to that.
Just a day.
I'm sure you will, Danny.
Okay. Let's keep this PG. The next day, I think, they're like, nope, it was a weather balloon. Big mistake. Big mistake, everybody.
Military says that.
Oh, yeah.
The governor.
And they basically make the newspaper drop this story the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like kind of the beginning, really the beginning of the UFO cover-up.
Mm.
And this is where the whole like nuclear era comes into play, because we've talked about this on the show before.
Yeah.
Where sightings really... skyrocket after we develop the nuclear bomb. And a lot of times it's sort of more related to this saucer phenomena than even the entire UFO phenomena. And the term flying saucer was like a common... This is before UFO. That's why it says flying saucer. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's before UFO became the word.
What is RAAF?
That is the Roswell Air Force, I believe. Or whatever station is right there.
It'd be like
Roswell.
Luke Air Force Base kind of thing.
Okay.
When they crashed, did they recover a body as well?
So this is the contention, right? Were there bodies too? Because that changes things, right?
Yeah.
If all we have are just little bits of the craft, then like, yeah, sure, we'll play with it, see what we can do with it, right? In secrecy. And that's kind of how the story goes right now. But if they had bodies, man, in 47... I mean, how much do we really know? How much? I mean, yeah, but they could still, you know, like do an autopsy and.
Yeah, but there's no like DNA type of science out yet.
Yes, that's it's
like,
right.
Like, you know, that didn't come until like, it was late. I think it was in the
80s. What do you do? You like put
something
in a freezer, right? For later? Isn't. Yeah. I wonder. I mean, I'm being serious.
I don't know, but a freezer in Roswell, the power's got to go out quite a fucking bit. It's leaking.
In case people haven't caught on, Roswell is ghetto.
If I'm remembering correctly, there was the crash on the rancher's, like, guy's ranch, and it was like blocking something. So he like went and loaded up the craft and like had his son help him load it too.
The sloppiness of the recovery is so funny. So like,
it's just like they just toss it in the back like a F-150.
All right, can we tell the story from the beginning to end, like no one's ever heard of what this crash is about?
I'm just not that good at this story.
No, okay, that's
just
fine.
it's so long ago and so just accepted in the UFO like community's narrative. And dude, when people push against Roswell, there is pushback. Those are spicy Q&As.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like at this point, it's like part of the mythology. You know, it's the first time we really get to see a crash, it get reported, it get covered up, and the fact that the word bodies is floating around quite a bit. You know, in the museum, they had a bunch of testimonials from people from the city, and
now,
a lot of them said, yeah, there were bodies for sure.
Now, the original rancher that called it in initially, he was the one that they came to and said, you need to, like, not tell your story, basically. Don't they come to him and tell him to change, like, his story?
Yeah, well, basically, he goes to the sheriff first.
Yes.
And that's what's cool. At a local level, there's still not that much, like, cover it up organization. Yeah. So then the sheriff comes out and he's like, whoa, this is crazy, you know?
It's and like, they, cool, just drag it behind your truck to the station.
Yeah, so then, yeah, they move it. They move it. They all take like pieces and like their kids are playing. Just the fact that no one's even thinking about like the potential radiation.
Well, they probably didn't know anything about that back
I
then.
I guess you're right. Yeah. You know, that's, you know.
The atomic bomb was tested and built out, not there, but in New Mexico desert.
Well, and that, see, that's part of the argument. That's basically also ground zero for the nuke. Mm. That's where we started dropping nukes.
And when was that? That was later in the 50s.
So the idea that they were coming to check out what we're doing and be like, hey.
It's literally the same spot, you know? It's wild. It checks out so well that it's, you know, that's why it's so accepted in the community. But, you know, there should be pushback. We should always be questioning the validity of things.
Are we going to talk about the metal pieces?
So there's, do you remember? We were in there and we were looking at the, there's a, like a whole wall dedicated to the pieces in the museum. And there's like testimonies, like little video screens of like people that were kids back then that are like super old now. And those videos were made in what, the 90s or something?
Yeah.
It's like, my dad had this thing and he's got four arms. My dad found a piece of the metal.
He looks like one of the characters from Hills Have Eyes.
They said that it retained shape. And that's like what everyone seems to agree on.
Like, you'd crumple it up and then it would pop, like, you know, like a sponge, if you just, you know, it pops back open.
So the term that has been made for this now in modern science is called memory metal.
Dude, how sick is that, bro? That's sicker than rivets for sure.
Yeah, you think rivets? You don't need rivets.
Yeah, do you think rivets are manly? Memory metal?
Wait till you get some memory metal.
Memory metal, dude?
I was instantly jealous. You know, I want to touch it. I want to play with it. I want to see what's up. And they talked about it like it was, you know, just kind of a cool, weird thing. It's funny that the gravity of it all, I think, wasn't even really hitting a lot of... These are just, you know, ranchers doing their thing out in New Mexico.
Right.
And they're kind of badasses because at that time, it's not very, you know, established out there. You got to kind of be a gangster to survive the New Mexican desert in 47.
No, it's still not very established out there.
So, back to our journey into Roswell. On the way in, we listened to a podcast about all about the story and everything that happened with it. And the entire time that they're talking, Danny is talking over the podcast going, yep. Yep. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. That's, he's fully agreeing. Just
affirming.
With yeah. He's reaffirming or arguing with the podcaster.
Sometimes I got pissed.
There was a few times where he'd get fired up and we'd have to turn it down.
Well, they just felt the need to entertain every explanation, and some of them were just so ridiculous to me. That was,
and
like,
some of
why
it, some of it was really like it is a really interesting story, and I think we should do an episode where we dive deep into it. There's but one so of the things that really stood out to me was just like the main guy that had the story, and they come to give him like the hush money. His hush money was just a new truck. Like, they just gave him a new truck.
That's sick.
They're just like, yeah, well, it was awfully fishy. He knew all this information. He had no money. And then all of a sudden he had a brand new pickup truck.
They told him not to talk about the metal, right?
Yeah.
Or any of it. The idea was, no, it was a weather balloon. We're all going to go along with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to be fair, they were testing weather balloons out there. You know, I mean, it was a good cover up.
Yeah.
And for a long time, people were just like, oh, no, that was a weather balloon. Sorry, dude, you were wrong. Remember, back then, all you had were the newspapers to really publish an official opinion.
The four-armed kid on the corner yelling, like, get your news here.
No, they talk about a lot of kids, like, and that, yeah, and then people would get called out to like check it out, you know. It sounds like there were like at least like 15 or 20 people that just kind of
it was a good cast character.
Yeah, just a motley crew, if you will.
Yeah, a lot of memory metal.
That's crazy.
And like, yeah, there's like talks of like that, you know, some of it's still just, who knows where some of it is, dude, in somebody's closet, you know, some historic home. Like,
is it like a hot spot there now for other sightings? Or,
well, New Mexico, yeah, New Mexico.
Why do you
the Southwest in general?
Why do you think Southwest is such a hot spot?
That's such a big question. I mean, the natives even talk this way. If you compare native tribal stories to the tribes of the Southwest, it's very like star people. They're coming down. They're talking to us. They're, you know, they're fucking traveling dimensions. And there is a certain, you know, I mean, this, again, woo-woo. But there's a certain mystical energy to the desert. I mean, I don't know how to explain it or address it properly. I feel like you guys have probably felt it before. I also think that the aspect that there's much less weather and much less visual blockades is like very helpful for a lot of UFO sightings.
Well, and like you said, like now there's a lot of like the American nuclear stuff is in like Southwest.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, and then the other part of it is just that I think we're testing a lot of that shit out here.
Yeah.
And that really is probably like a big factor. And we obviously picked this area a long time ago to do secret crazy shit.
Well, it's probably like one of the more vast, unpopulated, like you can actually get away with launching massive shit and nobody around you's gonna do it. That's why they did the atomic bomb, yes, like test out
that
there,
was another so. Interesting thing about Roswell is the crash actually happened like 30 minutes from the town.
Yeah, it wasn't even Roswell.
And driving in and out of it, you're like, there's nothing here. Like absolutely nothing, like going in and out. So like that aspect of it makes it kind of creepier to me. You know what I mean? And you could see how like a small town cover up would happen pretty easily on that scale.
Yeah.
I got so distracted. Danny just put a picture of his feet up on the slideshow. These are some alien socks that he purchased, and the least flattering angle of your legs you could possibly take. Yeah. I can't tell where the thighs end.
It's like an elderly woman getting ready for an airplane ride, you know, with the compression socks.
They smelled bad. I didn't bring them.
Is that a UFO McDonald's?
It's a UFO McDonald's. It's the only one in the world.
Did it taste better?
Yeah,
taste out of this world?
The entire economy of Roswell is just like, it's a Pizza Hut, but the pizza's shaped like a spaceship.
Yeah.
It's a McDonald's, but there's a spaceship built into the McDonald's.
This is my dream.
It's a part of the PSYOP.
I thought it was pretty good. We're leaving town and we're like, all right, well, we saw it all. We saw their Jimmy John's and their McDonald's later. And the museum. And Danny's like, I got to come back out here and spend a week just wandering around and seeing all the sights.
I'm serious. I am going to, and then I'll tell you about it. I want to talk to locals. I want to investigate. I'm going to do a MUFON investigation. We're opening the cold case.
Yeah, we're the united ones, like Mass said. We'll be united.
You better hurry up, because 1947 was a long time ago. There's still probably a couple of them alive.
But they're all playing with fucking radiation.
I don't
radiation.
Know. Do you even think so? I probably not.
Radioactive
dude.
Metals?
I don't know, man. You might, you know.
47? Yeah, there's definitely still that.
Maybe like some 5-year-old saw the crash and now
my dad was born in like 53.
Well, and a lot of those stories, it was funny. A lot of those stories were like from kids, now adults, in the museum. They're like, I remember when dad brought back a piece of it.
Yeah.
I played with it. My mom told me to put it down. You know, it's just like stupid, like non-consequential shit.
Well, I mean, that's what they would like play with, like mercury in there.
Yes.
Like right. That was like a normal thing.
There was a, it's like a little flying saucer with aliens standing outside of it that like goes up and down, and it kind of has like fog that shoots out around it.
Oh, yeah.
And the plaque on it's like, this took 2 weeks to build.
Like that was like the feet.
Yeah,
like,
the scale of it is insane.
There's me with a gray.
Much friendlier than you would imagine.
There's me in Graves. Greaves with a couple Graves. Graves. Oh. There's me and Rod. Me and Pants are making peace. Oh, there's their little. They had a little like.
Is that real?
Yeah, that's real.
Clearly.
That is a genuine alien in an airtight container preserved for the future.
Here's a blanket I wanted to buy.
All right, cool. Yeah. Let's go fucking move on.
No, I tried to buy the video. Okay. It's a sick video too. I wish
you
I wish
a video of the drive through of McDonald's.
Yeah.
This is gonna be excited. A great. We our last episode was so well like constructed and researched, and this one's like
absolute chaos.
Listen, where is it? Oh god, I give up, dude.
We believe you.
Fine. Whatever.
Yeah, dude. Roswell, I didn't leave a lasting impression on me. It was.
Yeah, you guys didn't say anything about your trip to Roswell.
I mean, yeah,
I think it really amounted to us at like a gas station that had some UFO merch.
No, I think we went to like two shops because it was like. There was like four shops total, and
yeah, so you guys saw the town. Then.
We saw the
I think
a lot of places were closed, and we went into one, and it was like when you're in Vegas, and there's those like small shops on the side, or like a boardwalk, and there's just like here's like a raunchy T-shirt that says "I survived the aliens. I'm mm-hmm. here for the cheeks."
Yep,
but yeah,
I think we really knocked this one out of the park.
I found it. All right, you guys ready?
Here we go.
Wow. That took him
yes.
2 minutes.
It's so sick.
That's awesome.
There's fog pumping out too. You can't see it.
It looks like a stage prop that like if given 3 weeks, I could build.
Yeah.
You can see my reaction.
You can see Mouse is unimpressed.
I think your reaction there is all of our reaction right now.
That's so funny, dude.
Damn. That's funny. Yeah, I didn't know the history of Roswell at all, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, if anyone ever gets a chance, check out the International UFO Museum. They actually do a really good job in there. I know we showed some of the hokier parts, but there's a lot of information on the walls and video testimonials. And even, I swear, I saw a photo of a piece, dude. I've looked online ever since. I cannot find it.
Photo of a what?
Of a piece of the thing.
Oh, wow.
Anyway,
peace and nice. Craft.
So what else is new in Alien World with you, Danny? What's there's been some updates on the...
Actually, something really cute happened a couple days ago. And just everyone sent me the SpaceX rocket launch
video. Oh, yeah.
Which is so funny, you know? Hasn't everyone seen a rocket launch by now?
Yeah.
Like, they're pretty... They all pretty much look the same.
Well, it's no surprise that the guys in the IRE had no idea what was happening. So they've been on this podcast, people.
I wish, you know what? We should try and play the video they sent me because it is
I saw
so
it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I saw the video and he just goes, dude, are you sending this to Danny?
And, you know, a few people though, Gabo too from Fayuca. He sent me a picture, and it was like a screenshot of his Nest camera. He was like, what is this?
Was it visible in Arizona?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
I accidentally
What was he blasting up into space?
SpaceX launch? Like
the satellites?
They were putting more Starlink satellites up.
Okay.
Because we need more internet everywhere.
It really is a pretty cool looking thing.
Yeah, it's pretty jarring the first time you see it. I was driving down the 202 towards my house like a few months ago when they launched one, and I saw it, and I did momentarily panic.
It's happening.
Yeah. Momentarily, there was like a cool 10 seconds of, oh my God, it's all over.
Dude,
this is how it ends.
That's
like,
such
like
a scary feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One time we were on tour.
Asteroid
and
or a missile or something? I don't know.
One time we were on tour, I was driving in the middle of the night, and everyone was asleep. And I'm going down this like really gnarly like mountain trail, and it's like storming. And I want to say it was in like Pacific Northwest, and like way out in the distance, there's nothing around. It's kind of creepy, but also like beautiful. I just see this like orange light, and it just starts it starts growing, and it gets bigger and bigger. And I'm getting closer, and it's like becoming this like monumentally sized light and heading my way. And I'm like, do I like wake somebody up? I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is happening. I get closer and there's a fucking building just off in the distance. It just looked like something, but there was this whole like 20 minutes of me driving it growing bigger and bigger and the light like taking up the entire sky. And I was just like, I couldn't comprehend what was going on. And I was just like, oh, it's like some like manufacturing, like some business in the middle of nowhere.
I remember one time being in the Midwest, pulling over at night to piss. And all of us were on the side of the road next to the van, and it was so dark because there was no city around us.
Yeah.
And the stars were just mind blowing.
Oh, yeah.
And we're all sitting there with our dicks out pissing, looking up in the sky, and a shooting star passed by. And it was like just epic, dude.
And you're all like, whoa!
Yeah, it was like, do you remember that?
No, I don't.
I remember that because it was like, I don't know, it was so cool.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Not as cool as, I guess, like a missile or something.
Yeah, but night drives are, I mean, they really bring out the imagination in you.
Dude.
You get a little delirious. Still, if you have like an overnight Tanner, drive I'm by like still the end of it, you're
me
like,
and Tanner saw
a
chupacabra once, bro.
The there's also a thing where it's like,
in the street?
If there's middle of the road. Mountains in the distance where you like feel like you're seeing something that's approaching, mm-hmm. but you can't tell what it is because it's dark and you just like, this area seems a little darker, but then you're like, it's 3 a.m. I haven't slept in like forever. Like, I can't tell if it's just me. There's a lot of like really scary, kind of weird. That's where your mind starts going. I would listen to it.
The first time I saw a rocket, I was scared. Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I was a kid, I think. I remember it was like a... It was a high school football game. I'm in the marching band, of course.
Nerd.
And I remember just like, it started coming through and everyone was just looking up. It was kind of cool. Very cinematic. You know, like, what is that? It's like the game almost stopped for a second, you know? And yeah, then later I was like, oh, that's a rocket. Now I know what they look like, you know?
But cool beans.
I'm just saying I'm not afraid. I don't get afraid anymore when I see them is what I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah. Have there been any updates since the last UFO hearing thing?
Oh, well, I love how you're like, so, wink, wink, nudge,
nudge. I tried to guide you. The first 20 minutes on different kinds of socks you bought. So,
do you have any more photos of the merch that you bought at the UFO museum?
I did bring some more, but we won't talk about it.
Okay. We'll save that for just us.
No, this it was riveting. This just happened, so I just pulled it up. Where is it at?
Dude. Should throw up him.
I'm so good at this.
Oh, man.
So, our friend Jeremy Corbell, I first found out about this from him because he was like so furious that basically the Pentagon, dude, they are not changing their story. They have always said none of this is real and that they don't know anything about it and that the few times they've tried to check it out, it seemed superfluous.
Mm-hmm.
And so they finally doubled down. They've been a little silent on the whole David Grusz scenario, which kind of got the community excited.
Right.
You're like, oh no, they don't know what to do. What's going to happen? Same old shit, dude. They basically released just like a multiple page report just saying again that we're all wrong and that none of it is true. Let me give you a, here it is. And Arrow was the group created to try and address this, right? Arrow has found no evidence that any U.S. government investigation, academic sponsored research, or official review panel has confirmed that any sighting of a UAP represented extraterrestrial technology. Which is, that's a big diss. But I guess, you know, we're not always saying that, you know. In a way, I guess they're not saying that there are no amazing UAP sightings out there, right? They're just saying that no one can prove it's aliens.
Yeah. But I mean, how would you even possibly prove it's aliens?
I see, and that they're kind of copping out by doing that.
Not only I guess another question that I haven't really spent much time thinking about is if someone does somehow prove this, then what? What are we doing with that information?
Well, the argument is that it has been proven and that we just either lack the organization to like really confront the government on the matter.
We could be that organization.
This is our moment. Let's unite.
Yeah. Dude, I just
right
picture
here, guys.
I picture Danny walking up to like talk to the House of Representatives and just going through 20 different folders.
wait, fuck, I have it right here.
One second. I just got this shirt. I got these
Danny opens up his laptop and he's got 30 tabs open.
All like first 10 are his feet.
Look, okay, I wasn't as organized this time, okay? I'm working on it. Okay.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, man.
I fucking smoked a lot of weed at the Bob Marley movie last night. I passed out early.
In the movie theater?
We won't talk about it.
Oh, damn. That's pretty fucking baller, dude. That would be like my 13-year-old dream.
You don't vape in the theater, dude?
I don't vape at all.
Candy does it. Now I finally just do it because of her.
Serial vapist.
Serial
Damn. All right.
Yeah.
Well.
You just kind of ghosted in there, you know?
Is there any other hard-hitting alien stuff you want to do, or should we keep this a short one? This is just the continuation of last week's Phoenix Lights ones. There was a thing at the end of the, like when we just took our break, that you were going to show about the news on the Phoenix Lights. Was that something that worth showing or no?
Probably not.
Okay.
It was Fox.
I appreciate you.
So
actually.
It was questionable. I mean, I just want to thank everybody that has said something to us on tour about this podcast. It comes up a lot.
Really? Hell yeah.
And it's really cool.
I miss being on tour and having people come up to us because, like, we haven't played really any shows in forever. So it's like, I wonder where this is getting out to. But
it is really, really cool. Completely un-alien related, but just to see like the impact you guys have made on so many people. Like that tour, that was like one of the big takeaways I had, was how many Catastro fans were showing up and like people who like.
Yeah, you still owe us money for that sweatshirt.
No. That one goes straight to me. That one.
So.
We get a text.
Yeah.
No, tell him.
Mouse texts me. He goes, bro, some guy just bought my Catastro sweatshirt off my back for $500. That was like, hell yeah.
It was a shirt, a merch item that we don't print anymore.
You want to know what's crazy? So he goes to send me the Zelle for the shirt. Because at first he's just like, I want to buy that hoodie. I was like, yeah, it's actually like one of my favorite hoodies. Like, I don't want to sell it. I love the way it fits. And he's just like, I'll give you $500. It's like, I'll give you a hand job in the bathroom right now.
So, you went from being a loyal friend to then giving this guy a hand job.
So he goes to Zelle me the money, and I pop open my bank account, and he sees my bank account balance and just goes, oh.
Like the last day of a tour. Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible.
He goes, you really need this, huh?
But you're like, yeah, don't tell Ryan and Tanner about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had lots of just awesome Catastro fan sightings for weeks now.
That's cool, man. And you know, it's interesting, like Ryan said, we don't really know.
And podcast fans.
It's hard for us to know what's really going on out there currently. Of course. Especially since we're taking a break from doing stuff on social media and like, you know. To have friends hit us up and tell us those kind of things, it's, I don't know, it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Because yeah. I like, that's one of my favorite parts about touring is talking to people. And, you know, if for us, without having any of that social interaction online, it just kind of feels like everything's like stopped, even though it hasn't, you know, so I appreciate it.
And even Astro Camp, like, we are making a difference, I swear. Because people want to talk about it now. Like, at least every other show, there was at least one person that was like, dude.
Well, we even had Jeremy Corbell repost your video from
this. He's excited about it.
I wonder if he would ever jump on the podcast.
I really think
us.
He would, because a lot of the problem with the subject is that it's so dry. You know, people are so fucking serious. It's depressing. Mm-hmm. It makes you not want to care about it. No, right? Not us. We're fun. We're approachable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think he was happy to see, you know, people having fun with the subject on their podcast, because so often it's not that.
Also, like, I don't know, from my point of view, it's like I'm definitely more of like a skeptical person about almost everything. And so I think that adds value as far as like people just sitting and talking about things with, you know, aliens and stuff. It's just, we're not all like as into it as you are. And so it's like we're learning and we're kind of coming up with our own answers and what are our own opinions on it after hearing somebody that has actually like done research and been experienced in the scene. So it's been fun for me. I really like doing these.
Yeah,
the
it's people want to tell their stories. That's why we got to figure out a way, because that's what usually happens after they say that they have listened to this podcast.
They tell you.
Well, let me tell you about this one time in my backyard. Blah, 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 blah. And you're like, whoa, this is sick, dude.
Yeah. So we'll just, I mean, let's let's call this one like a little bit early, but like we'll have everybody that if anybody does have an alien experience, UAP, UFO, whatever, please hit our hotline and leave us a message, an audio message, and we will be playing them on the next Astro Camp episode live, and we'll
this
talk
is so
about
cool.
them.
Or, we're getting or, interactive.
Yeah. Or, so tell
or
us
you
your
can type them out.
Tell us your experience or your story, or you can ask us a question that maybe Danny could answer on one of the upcoming ones.
Yep.
Yeah. Or like if he has any information or leads, he can bring them forth.
Dude, I feel like Ryan was more researched today than I was.
Dude, I was excited about it. It's like I've never been like, I fully believe in it, but it is like a fun and exciting thing to like, once you start reading into it, you're like, there's obviously cover up going on, and like if there was no validity to it, why would they cover it up?
Why is there a cover up if they would just
let
it?
If it's like so fake, then just let it fall on his face because people would see that it's fake. But
and that's what's so funny about like how dry this Pentagon statement is.
Yeah,
they're just like no.
Yeah,
yeah,
no. You know, not we don't get anything from them. You know, there's no inch, which to me means that there must be something massive going on underneath the surface. And that excites the shit out of me.
That excites me too.
It does.
I'm also excited.
All right, hell yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you guys for joining us once again. This was a really fun
Astro Camp.